Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We are continuing our study tonight on the topic of wisdom. Folks, if you will listen tonight, and I mean this, and I say this often because I believe every truth that I give is important to life. I was sharing this with a preacher friend today. He said, Brother Bush, he said, I'm going to steal that. I said, you can't steal it. It's already in the Bible. You can have it, but you can't steal it. Amen. I said, I just needed to work on some wording on something. He said, every church in the country needs this. He said, every Christian needs this. He said, I've been saved, and he gave me an extended period of years. He's been in the ministry about the same as I have, a little less than I have. And he said, if I'd have known this 20 plus years ago, wow, what a difference it would have made. It's that powerful of a truth tonight. I believe I can help you. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, leave your Bibles open because we're going to use them a little bit tonight here. Let's start reading in verse number 11. Wisdom is good with an inheritance. By it, there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Now, look back at me, if you will. I'm going to review for just a moment. Wisdom is the topic of what we have been talking on for, I'm guessing a dozen or more weeks here recently. Wisdom is a commodity. But it's not a commodity that once you get it, you have it for a long time. For instance, about 15, 16 months ago, our church purchased that piano. It's an expensive Clavinova electric piano. We did it for many reasons, one of which, it's about a $7,000 piano that we got for about $5,000. It's big enough we could take it and put it into an auditorium that would seat 1,000 people, hook it up into our PA system, and we're good to go. It's going to last us a few years, amen? And so we got it to carry us for a while. Now, wait a minute. That piano probably would last us 20 years or more. Wisdom isn't that way. Wisdom, you get it, you use it, and then you got to get it again. It's kind of like your paycheck. You know, you get it, and it's gone before you get it. And so you got to work again to get more. I liken wisdom unto the spigot at your house in the kitchen. You turn it on and get what you need and turn it off. And after you've emptied out whatever you've used, you need to get some more and you got to turn it back on. That's exactly what wisdom is. Once you get it, you don't have it forever. You have it as long as you're using it. And once you've used it up, you've got to go get more. Now, we defined wisdom as the ability to see life through God's eyes. Seeing life as God sees life. Now, listen to me very carefully. Last week, I taught on every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Doesn't say they did that which was evil. They did that which was right. But they were the ones deciding right and wrong for themselves. They weren't letting God decide. They were letting themselves decide. And that was the problem. Now, the Christian life makes more sense when you look at it from his point of view than from your point of view. Let me say that again. The Christian life makes more sense when you see it from the way God sees it than when you're looking at it. Oh, the Christian life, it's just so hard. I don't see why we've got... That's the problem, you don't see. You're looking at it through your eyes, not God's eyes. Now, tonight, this truth could revolutionize your life. This truth can be applied in any part of your life. By the way, I want you to apply it in all areas of your life. I'm talking about your marriage. I'm talking about child rearing. I'm talking about being a child. I'm talking about at home. I'm talking about with your friends. I'm talking about your business. I'm talking about where you work. Every area of life is affected by this truth. Now, to help you understand it, I'm going to start with an illustration. It's a sports illustration. I love sports. There's very few sports that I don't like. Hockey isn't one of my favorites. I can watch it, but to me, hockey's like boxing on ice. Amen. It doesn't make quite as much sense. I respect the athletes. I just don't understand all the rules. I don't watch enough of it to say, man, I like that. I like any two things where they're going to get in there and hit each other, knock each other around, and I like violence. Well, no, I like controlled violence, all right? And I'm not a soccer fan. You say, why? I can't stand running that far to do nothing. Man, if you can't go down and beat the snot out of somebody, why run that far? It just doesn't make sense to me, amen? I grew up a little different. I like football. I grew up in football country. I grew up in Canton, Ohio, which is the home of the Football Hall of Fame. I've been there many times. I've driven by it, good night, hundreds and hundreds and probably thousands of times in my life. I've been by it so many times, it just is another building to me. But I grew up in football country. Now, in any sport, now listen, any team sport, you have two sides opposing one another. You have an offense and you have a defense. A football team will field 11 men at a time. That means this, they have 11 players that play defense. And the other team has their offense on the field and the defense is trying to stop their offense from advancing the ball and scoring. When your offense is on the field, they put their defense on the field to try to keep you from scoring. Now, you have an offense, you have a defense. Your offense is moving the ball, your defense is trying to stop them. I played a lot of baseball. Offense is when you're batting. Defense is when you're playing the field. And so you have your offense versus your defense. Now, listen to me very carefully. In football, now, I realize some of you men, not many of you women, but my mother, won't understand football maybe to this level, but there is a lot of truth in what I'm about to say. Most every Super Bowl team that has won the national championship has done it with a solid defense. You go back and look. You say, well, they had a high-power offense. Yeah, but they had their high-power offense because they had a good defense. You have to have a good defense to win a ball game. I don't care if you can score 70 points a football game. If you can't stop your opponent from scoring, they're going to beat you. So to be a championship team, you've got to have a high-power defense. You've got to keep the enemy, the opposing team, from advancing and scoring. Now, listen to me very carefully. Look in your Bible again, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, right where we started. Look at verse number 12. For wisdom is a defense. Now look at me. According to Ecclesiastes 7, wisdom is defense. It is not offense. Many of us try to use our wisdom as an offensive weapon. God said your wisdom is to be your defense. Listen to me, what I'm about to say here. Many of us want to use our offense as a spear. God wants you to use it as a shield. Many of you want to use it as your artillery. God wants you to use it as your fort. See, wisdom is not your offensive weapon. And I'm going to show you what I mean here in just a moment. Now, here's the question. Brother Smith, line up on the other side of the line of scrimmage there. If I am wisdom and I am the defensive side of the team, then I am opposing an offense which is a different team and an opposing force. If this is wisdom, then what is wisdom opposing? Foolishness is one, and there's another word that's very close to that. Evil. So wisdom's defense is against the offense of evil and foolishness. Because it's the opposing power. Thank you, Brother Smith. That means God says your wisdom is a defense against evil and foolishness. Now, watch this. That means wisdom is to defend against the attack, not be the attacker. Wisdom does not attack. Wisdom is that fortress that you build around you to endure the attack of evil. Wisdom is that stronghold you stay in during the attack that protects you from the attack of evil and foolishness. Now, we often use wisdom the wrong way. Same book, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, look at verse number 18. Let me show you what I mean. God describes it a little farther. He says, Ecclesiastes 9:18, wisdom is better than what? Weapons of war. Are weapons defensive or offensive? They're offensive. God says that wisdom is better than weapons of war. That means your defense can outlast the weaponry of evil and foolishness. Boy, that's a good statement. Now, what does the word defense mean? It means a fort. It means a stronghold or a strong place. It means shield. It means protector. This is my favorite definition. We'll use it after a while here. The word defense, you can look it up in the Hebrew. It literally means the scaly, thick skin of an alligator. You're just thick skinned. Yeah, you got a good defense. You see, that defense protects the alligator. That alligator hide is so tough, most things can't get through it. They call it an armor plating. Now, wisdom is the toughness that allows you to take the attack of evil. Did you catch that? Wisdom is the toughness to be able to withstand the attack of evil. Listen to me carefully. I'm not going to wow you, but I'm going to use some science for a moment. Biology will teach you that a man has thicker skin, biologically speaking, than a woman. Ladies are generally colder. The heat affects them faster. You say, why? Because literally their skin is a thinner layer than men. That is a biological fact. Look it up anywhere you want to look. Now, I realize age thins skin and everything else, and there's all kinds of things. But on average, a man's skin is thicker than a lady's. Watch this. Ladies, generally you think with your emotions more than a man. Generally, a man does not think with his emotions. I know, ladies, you thought I could just stop with generally a man doesn't think. But we're not going there. But a man does not think with his emotions. He doesn't care what it looks like. He doesn't care what color it is. He doesn't even really care how it smells. As long as it tastes good, it doesn't matter. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Now, you're upset because it didn't look right. He's thinking, put it down here, baby. I'm going to eat. I don't care what it looks like. It's going to get tore into anyway. Now, wait a minute. That's just the way it is. He doesn't care what he throws on. As long as it doesn't stick to him when he puts it on, it's okay. It's clean enough. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Wisdom is that thick skinness that allows you to endure the evil attack. Generally, a man can face attack better than a lady. I said generally. We live in a society to where men think they're women and they can't take nothing. We live in sissy britches days. Wisdom is the place of protection where you run to while under attack. Listen to me very carefully. When you run outside the protective walls of wisdom under attack, you are about to become a casualty. So many people, while under attack, just run. But they don't run to wisdom. They just run. Did you catch that? Now hang in there. Let me show you what I mean. We're going to use our Bibles. We're going to the book of Psalms. You ready? Go to Psalm 59. And now we're going to look at a few verses here. Psalm 59, let's look at verse number 9. Psalm 59, verse number 9, the Bible says, "Because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. The God of my mercy shall prevent me. God shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies." Now look at me for a moment. I want you to notice something here. The Bible says, "Because of his strength will I wait upon thee." It says, "For God is my defense, and my mercy shall prevent me." Wisdom says, when you're attacked, you slow down, you stop, and you analyze, and you hang in there for a little while. I watch people under fire, they panic. You'll find out. I'm a lot of things that aren't always good, but I'm not a panicker. I can handle just about anything. Say why? Because I've learned how to think under pressure. I don't go all wonky-brained under pressure. I don't go all, there's blood. I wish you could have seen the day I dropped the knife on my leg and cut it about an inch deep. I was the only one in the building. You say, did you panic? No, I was laughing at myself. As I was walking to the washroom to find out how bad it was, I was thinking, you're stupid. What'd you do that for? I got blood all the way down to my sock. I called my wife. I said, don't worry, I'm fine. I need a Band-Aid. Now, it was that deep, but I just need a Band-Aid, amen? I was fine. You say, were you panicked? No, my wife was. I wasn't. Say, why? I have learned how, under pressure, to slow down. Usually, it's not as bad as it appears. You know, did you ever see a car wreck and you think, oh my, somebody died in that? You find out later, everybody walked away without a scratch. You're thinking, how in the world did that happen? Did you ever see these NASCAR drivers, you know, at 200 miles an hour, hit the wall and there's nothing left but a cage? Car's been on fire. And you're thinking, that guy just bit the dust. And all of a sudden you see him crawling out. And you're thinking, that's not possible. It's generally not as bad as you think it is. It may appear bad, but God says when you're under attack, when evil is facing you, slow down. Wait. Prevent yourself from running. That's what wisdom does. Next, look at Psalm 62. Psalm 62, we're going to look at verse 2 and verse number 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. Watch this. I shall not be greatly moved. Look at verse number 6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be, what's the next word? Moved. Look at me. Quit running under pressure. Why is it? Watch this. Your marriage. You face a little bump in the road. You face a little pressure. I'm just going to go back to my mommy. Well, don't run. Stay. Stay. Quit moving. Stay. Everybody doing all? Man, I feel like I'm on an island all by myself right now. Some of you change jobs because you face a little pressure. You face a little discouragement. You face a little bit of tough times. God said, when you're facing that attack, don't move. Hang in there. Stay. All right? Look at Psalm 94. I'm going to jump about 30 chapters here. Psalm 94, we're going to look at verse number 22. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. The word refuge means my shelter. My place of staying. God says in all three of these, when you're under attack, Stay. Stay put. Stay firmly planted. Don't move around. Just stay there. Endure the attack, and then you'll be okay. I grew up in tornado country. Man, I've seen tornadoes. I've seen funnel clouds. I've seen the damage they can do. Say, what happens? When the alarm goes off, you go to the basement or the storm cellar. You wait for the all clear. Say, what are you doing? You're going to the refuge waiting for the storm to pass so that you can go out, see what happened. That is exactly how you face evil attacks. This is why God has blessed our church. We don't attack. This is a place of refuge. It is a place of refuge. Now, I want you to go back to Ecclesiastes 7, where we started. I need to show you another part of this. This will change your life. Ecclesiastes 7, look at verse 12 again. For wisdom is the defense, and money is a defense. Ooh, now I got down to your level, didn't I? Look at me. Money is to be a defense, not an offense. Let me change your thinking about money. If I had more money, I could. No. Money has become the focal point, which is your offense. God said your money is to be your stronghold, your defense, not your offense. Matter of fact, if you go to the New Testament, and the Bible says, for the love of money is the what? Root of all. Oh, come on, Methodists talk louder than that. It's the root of all what?
Evil.
Evil. Ooh. Is love action or is it neutral? Ooh. That means loving is an offensive term, and God said loving money, putting it on the offense, it becomes evil. But money can be used, and money is not bad, as long as it's on the defensive. Doing okay? Now, listen to me very carefully. Why has our church, and why will our church, continue to face attack and be able to endure it? Because we're not looking for money. We're becoming a place of refuge. We use that money to refuge people. We use that money to help people. Guess what? God keeps providing. We're not going to start a daycare to make money for our church. We're going to build a New Testament church, not a daycare. We're not going to start a daycare to pay our bills. We're not going to start, I call them para-church organizations, to make money for the church. Everybody doing okay? Well, we could have a lot more, but we're not doing it God's way because we're not going after money, we're going after God's will. Listen to me very carefully what I'm about to say. There is a new trend in, I'll call it fundamentalism, it's not really fundamentalism. I call it California-style Christianity. We get into this high-tech, high-preppy, let's go out to the world and become as close to the world as we can. Let's adopt their styles. Let's adopt their class. Let's be like them so that we can reach more of them. They're renting their buildings out to lost people to make money to pay their bills because they're unwise. They're the ones that attack. Well, soul winning doesn't work anymore. Nobody said you go soul winning because it works. You go soul winning out of obedience, not because it works. By the way, I've never seen God's plan not work. Just so you know. These are the people that go out, well, before we go soul winning, we're going to do a survey. And we're going to weed through all of the people that aren't interested so that we have a higher productivity rate. You know how many people I've won to Christ that didn't want to be talked to? A lot. I wonder how many people are dying to go to hell through surveys. You got that door open, get them the gospel. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
I better hurry. Point number two. Wisdom chooses timing and justice appropriately. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 8, just a few verses over here. We're going to start reading in verse number 5. Ecclesiastes 8, this all under the title of tonight is Wisdom is My Defense. Watch this. Whoso keepeth the commandment, watch this, shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Look at me. I want you to notice a couple things in this verse. The Bible says, when we obey, when we keep the commandments, you feel no evil thing. Do you know what that term means? Your thick hide doesn't feel the attack. Your thick hide won't feel the attack of evil. Somebody called me recently, and they said, Brother Bush, did you know so-and-so just attacked you? I said, not till you told me. Wished you wouldn't have told me, because I was happy. I said, when was it? Oh, it was such and such day. I said, well, guess what? I didn't feel it. Since I didn't feel it, I'm not going to worry about it. Amen. By the way, I'm not worried about it. I get about one of those every few weeks. Don't worry. You say, you're under attack? If I am, I don't know it. My hide is so thick, I don't feel it. It really is. And I'm going to say this as kindly as I know how. I'm pretty tough. Brother Smith, come here for a second. I'm going to have Brother Smith represent you as the church. As long as you stay here, turn around and face me, and you stay within the protection, guess what? When they're firing from behind, you're safe. Because when they're hitting this thick hide, it's not hitting you, is it? I can take it. If I step away, he's going to get shot. My job as pastor is to stay here and block all those fiery darts. As long as you stay in that protection zone, you're fine. Say, well, I don't like you and I'm going to step over here. That's when you're going to get shot. Just be careful. Just be careful. Thank you, Brother Smith. So, Ecclesiastes 8 says, because you have wisdom, your thick hide can endure those attacks. Now watch it. It says, a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. I love this. Let's go back to football. In football, you line up at the line of scrimmage. Your offense is here, defense is here. That ball is waiting to be snapped to the quarterback. What happens if the defense moves across that line before the ball goes into motion? Yes. Yellow flag goes up. The whistle starts blowing. And they call it a penalty. It's usually called offsides. It can also be called encroachment. I know there's two different terms. Don't worry about it. Either one is an appropriate term. Do you know what's taking place? Do you know why it's a violation? Because if you move on defense before the offense starts moving, you now become the offense. You are now the aggressor, not the defender. God says a wise man knows how to wait until the attack starts and knows at exact what moment when to move. There's some of you, you're so quick on the draw that you're going to get a penalty. You're offsides. Some of you in your marriage need to learn to shut your mouth long enough to calm down so that you don't open it the wrong way, because your defense becomes offensive and now you got a foul. Amen. You got her foul. Wisdom jumps off sides. Some of you jump down people's throats before you have all the facts. That's not justice. Some of you make decisions before you know what's going on. Well, I heard this and I know that they wouldn't lie to me. Right. They might not lie, but they might not have all the facts either. And until you got all the facts, why make a decision? Why waste time on it? Don't jump off sides. Let me show you what I mean. Wisdom chooses timing that matches God's plan. Let me use three or four illustrations here. In relationships, young people, this is how it's supposed to work. It's supposed to be grow up, become a young adult, date, get engaged, get married, then have a physical relationship. You get any of those out of order, you become offsides. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Let me show you what I mean. You're supposed to work, you're supposed to get your paycheck, and then you're supposed to pay your bills and make your debt. If you make your debt and then got to find more jobs to pay your debt, you got it out of order and you're offsides. Everybody doing okay? Let's bring it down to the spiritual world so we don't bleed quite so bad. It's supposed to be salvation, baptism, church membership, serve God. If you put baptism before salvation, you're out of order, you're offsides, and it's a penalty. Now, folks, I didn't say it. God did. Timing is as important as doing the right thing. Do you know there's nothing wrong with a physical relationship between a man and a woman as long as it's done in God's timing? Everybody doing all right? Yep. Young people, holding hands is great. But I'm going to beat you upside the head if I see you do it before you get married. Amen. Say why? Because it's not right. I waited until I was 22 years old before I got married. I had to think there for a second. I was 22 years old when I got married. I waited 22 years. I've been making up for it ever since. Good night. I waited a long time. Yeah. But you know what? It's better because I waited. Boy, that's good stuff. Wisdom seeks justice. Listen to this statement. Wisdom seeks justice, not vengeance. Same old stuff, just resurrected. Well, we need to have church discipline. I had somebody call the church recently. What type of church discipline do you have? I said, I think I know what you're asking, but could you clarify? Because I'm not sure you want my answer. They said, if somebody does something bad in your church, do you bring them up and tell the congregation what they did? I said, no! I said it real loud. I said, that's gossip, that's evil, that's unscriptural, it's wrong, and has no place in my church. I said, I don't even know you, but do you want me to bring you up in front of my church and tell them everything bad you did? No, but I haven't done anything that bad. I said, God put liars in the same group he put murderers. I said, that means every person that ever tells a lie, we bring them up in front of the church. I said, let me ask you a question. Who made you God? Why do you have to know what wrong somebody else did? What good does that do you? What good does that do my church? I said, it's gossip and it's wrong and it's unbiblical. I said, my church will never do that. Well, you won't have a very healthy church then. I said, thank you very much. It's full of sinners and you're welcome too. I said, did they visit? Nope. I don't care. Folks, well, I'm so tired of people covering up sin. You better be glad God does. It's not a cover up. It is God's plan. You're not God. Quit judging people. Did you catch that? Now, you're glad now. Wait till it's your sin or your kid. Then you're going to be real thankful for it. Wisdom seeks justice and restoration, not public humiliation and vengeance. Let me say it this way. Wisdom seeks justice and timing for all institutions. Let me show you what I mean. Do you know that government is supposed to be a defense? You go back to the 1700s, America fought a revolution, started a government to defend our freedom. When government goes on the offense, you start losing your freedoms. And government that's out of control, that has no boundaries, is called socialism, communism, and Nazism. Our government is now on the offense, not the defense. They're not trying to protect you, they're trying to take from you. Our founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson, said, any government big enough to give you what you want is big enough to take everything you have away. And look what's happening. We have allowed government to go on the offense, not stay on the defense. Boy, that's a good statement. By the way, when America got away from the Bible, it started going there in a hurry. By the way, we left the Bible 3 generations later. They're now saying the Constitution needs rewritten. No, it doesn't. It just needs applied. Well, it's not working. Yeah, because you're not obeying it. Go back to obeying it and it'll work. Marriage is a defense when you use it for your spouse. When you start using your marriage against your spouse to get what you want, marriage begins to break down. Did you catch that? When you start using your marriage against your spouse to get what you want, you begin breaking down the institution of marriage. It's no longer defensive, it becomes offensive. Disciplining your children is wise. You are to protect your children by disciplining them God's way. You're to protect them from evil. You're to protect them even from themselves. Okay, listen to me. When parents give in, they allow the child to go on the offensive, and the breakdown between the parent and the child begins. And I'm just going to say it this way. And if you've got a 5-year-old that has more control than you, get some skin and thicken it up. And you can thicken their hide too in a certain part of the anatomy. It works real well. Mine was calloused for a long time. And it wasn't from sitting down playing video games. Matter of fact, I couldn't sit down and play video games. 2 reasons. One, I couldn't sit, and the other, there was no video games. Amen? Huh. A church is a defense for people and the Word of God. When you start attacking sinners and not attacking sin, you go on the offense and start losing the church. What I just said about church discipline is attacking sinners, not attacking sin. Right. Folks, you won't shut me up about sin. I'll preach on your sin. I'm going to preach on my sin. You say, which one's yours? All of them. Just like yours. But guess what? All sinners are welcome. I don't care how bad they are. We're going to help every last sinner that walks through that door. Say why? Because that's the only hope you have. I will not attack a sinner. Did y'all hear that? We're not going to attack sinners. I'll fight sin with every fiber of my body. You say why? To protect you. But we're not going to attack each other because we're sinners. Boy, that's a good statement. We become evil and actually take on the devil's battle in the name of God when we start attacking other sinners. Well, God's going to use me to purge. God doesn't use you to purge nothing. Who made you God? I got to finish. Wise people get stronger as they use wisdom, and they get more wisdom because they got stronger. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 19. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise, more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. Folks, the stronger the defense, the stronger the team. The stronger you stay in that defensive position, guess what? The stronger you are. I had a preacher call me today. He said, "I'm going through a little battle, Brother Bush." I said, "I know." I said, "I have faced the very battle you faced about a year ago." I said, "Let me help you. Let me help you." And I was able to strengthen him. You know why? Because I didn't run. I stayed in the battle. I stayed in my defense long enough to weather the storm, to weather the evil, outlasted the evil, and guess what? I'm on top side. I said, don't run. Don't cower. Just stay in your stronghold. Stay strong. Let's be strong together. We'll get you through this. I said, you will win. Hang on. Jesus used the Bible, which is wisdom, by the way, in his defense against the devil. If you went to Matthew chapter 4, don't turn there. That is when Jesus was tempted of the devil 40 days in the wilderness. Do you know how he endured that? He said, Scripture says. It is written. Scripture says. He didn't run. He didn't hide. He didn't cry. He said, the Bible says. Scripture says. The Bible says. Principles work while under attack. That's it right there. Everybody look at me for a moment. Look right here. I'm almost done. Give me 3 minutes. I watch Christians go through what the world would call post-traumatic stress syndrome, PTSD. You go through an attack and you get numb. And you walk around in a fog, you're depressed, you're mad, you're angry, you're zombied, you're all these other things. Look it up. I watch people go into PTSD, and I hate to tell you this, but people under PTSD generally get killed when they're in the battlefield. Say why? They don't have enough sense to follow principles. They're so affected emotionally. By the way, PTSD is an emotional disorder. It's not a physiological. It is an emotional disorder. And your feelings are so affected that you can't think right. Watch this. It's time to get thicker skin. It takes thicker skin to make it. Now, by the way, children are not your defense. I love my children. But Joshua, Jeffrey, and Mindy are not my wife and I's defense. According to Psalm 127, verse number 4, they are arrows in a quiver that are to be made, straightened, and sharpened in the stronghold. Watch this. And then I'm to shoot them to the will of God and let them go from there. Be careful, mamas, building your stronghold as your children. You're to shoot them. They're their arrows. They're not your stronghold. Your marriage and your husband is your stronghold, not your children. Did you catch that? Mamas and daddies, those of you that have adult children, you got to let them go. By the way, I have 3 arrows in my quiver. You say, why? I'm a better shot than some of you. No. I have 3 arrows. By the way, I'm not supposed to shoot all 3 of them at the same target. Each one has its own place to be placed. Too many of you are trying to drill all your arrows into one spot. God made them individually to be shot at a different target. Remember the quilt? The more wisely you use your money, the more you will eventually have. The more wisely you face opposition, the stronger you'll be. Recently, somebody saw me that has not seen me in a while, and they said, "Brother Bush, you're looking pretty strong." I said, "I am." No, I said, "I'm doing fine." They said, you've been through a bit of a battle. I said, "No, I've been through big ones and many for a long time." And they said, "A lot of people thought you weren't quite as strong as you are. They didn't think you were that tough." I said, "They don't know me very well." I said, "I'm scrappy." I said, "I'm a scrapper." I said, "I might not look it, but I've been through a lot of battles with a lot of people and a lot of great men I've watched fight. Guess what? I may not have said much, but I was watching really close." And I said, "Do you know, I have the same Holy Spirit and the same God that Jack Hiles, D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday, and any other great man of God, J. Frank Norris, you want to mention." I said, "And if he was good enough for them, he's good enough for me." I said, "I got the same Bible they preached from. If it worked for them, it's going to work for me." I said, "By the way, that's the same words that Jesus used against the devil. And if it worked for him, it's going to work for me." I said, "How could I not be strong?" Oh. Folks, wisdom is your defense. Now, you're not supposed to sit on your blessed assurance and do nothing, though. Your offense is going out there winning people to Christ, being at church, being faithful, and obeying God. That's your offense. Your defense, you stay in that stronghold. You get strong. You endure the attack. You get the thick hide. You endure it, get strong, and fight the battle against the devil, not the evil. Too many of you want to turn and fight the person that's fighting you. Oh, no, 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 no. Fight the devil. Fight the devil. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask you a question. Are you using your wisdom? Do you have wisdom? If you do, are you using it as an offensive weapon or a defensive weapon? Boy, this thing will just keep unlayering one layer at a time in your life, I promise you. I promise you. Many of us need to choose to use wisdom rightly as a defense. As a defense.